Good morning. Today we merit to begin the eighth and final chapter of Masechet Yoma, which deals with the way in which we actually commemorate or fulfill the laws of Yom Kippur. We don't have a Beis Hamikdash. We don't have a Kohen Gadol, we don't have the Karbanos that we've been learning about through the first seven chapters, but we can still fast, do tshuva, which is the theme of Yom Kippur. It says the Mishnah, Yom HaKippurim, on Yom Kippur, the Mishnah is on Pei Gimel Amid Beis, Yom HaKippurim, Aser Ba'achila U'Beshtia, on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed, it's a day when it's prohibited. Eating and drinking is prohibited. Uberechitza and bathing is prohibited. Uvesicha, applying ointments, taking oils and rubbing them into skin to make the skin soft. Uvenilas hasandal, there's a prohibition of wearing shoes. Leather shoes are not allowed on Yom Kippur. Ubetashmish hamita, and marital relations are not allowed on Yom Kippur. So the Mishnah says, on Yom Kippur, there's a prohibition against eating and drinking, against bathing, against applying ointments, rubbing an oil onto to skin, against wearing shoes, and against marital relations. However, while there are these prohibitions, v'amelech v'akala yirchatzu es pneihem, the king and a bride do wash their faces on Yom Kippur. Rashi explains, Melech, a king, darko v'shivcho lihiyos na'e. It's his way, and it's his praise to be pretty, to be good looking. Shenamar, as it says, Melech biyafyo, a king in his beauty, techezena einecha, your eyes will see. V'akalan, a bride, tzrichanoi, she needs beautification. Ad shetachavev al ba'ala, until she becomes beloved to her husband. V'chol shloshim yom l'chupasa hi kruya kala. And the 30 days after her chuppah, she's still called a kala. So it takes 30 days till the relationship solidifies. So for those first 30 days, if she got married within 30 days of Yom Kippur, on Yom Kippur, she can wash her face. V'achaya, and a woman who's giving birth, Tinolas Hasandal de Ribelezer. Ribelezer says she wears leather shoes on Yom Kippur. Chachamim Osrim, Chachamim say even a woman giving birth cannot wear leather shoes on Yom Kippur. Now another concept. How much were a person to eat it? Is a person in violation? How much eating is the violation? I'm sorry, when it says Dibri Belezer, these are the words of Dibri Belezer, that's the view on all these things. King, bride, woman giving birth. Dibri Belezer is the one who says that the king and the bride can wash their face and the woman giving birth can wear leather shoes. And the Chacham disagree about all of these things. All right, how much eating would it invoke the Kares penalty for eating on Yom Kippur? Ha'ochel kechoseves hagasa. If a person eats the amount of a thick date, kamoha, like the date, v'chigar anisa, and like its seed. V'hashoseh melo lugmav, and if somebody drinks an amount that would fill his cheek, chayev, he gets the penalty, he's obligated in the penalty of kares. Now, in regards to this law of eating a koseves hagasa, eating a date, kola ochle mitzdar from the koseves. All the different foods can combine to reach that measure of a date. So if you ate a third of a date worth of bread, and then another third of egg, and another third of date, it combines and it gets karis. Kola mashkin mitzdarfin, and all the different liquids would combine to equal a cheekful. So if he had a little bit of water, and with that also a little bit of wine, and with that a little bit of soda, orange juice, it would combine to be the prohibition. All the different liquids combine to equal the fullness of a cheek. However, food and drink together do not combine. So if he ate half a date worth of bread, plus he drank another half a date worth of grape juice, that's not yet the prohibition, and then he would not get kares. Okay, we're learning the eighth chapter here in Masechet Yoma. The Mishnah began by teaching Yom Kippur is a day when it's Aser ba'achilo b'shtiyo b'rechitzo b'sicho v'nilos hasando b'tashu shamita. It's a day of the five inuyim, the five afflictions. There's no eating, included in eating is drinking, as we saw. Then there's no bathing, no applying ointments, no applying oils onto the body, rubbing it into the skin, no wearing leather shoes, and fifth, no marital relations. Says the Gemara, the language of the Mishnah was Yom Kippurim on Yom Kippur, Aser, it's prohibited. Aser, it's a day in which these things are prohibited. Anush Kares, it's more than just prohibited. This is a day when there is a Kares penalty for eating. This is a day when there's a Kares penalty for drinking. The Mishnah should say Yom Kippur is a day when there's a penalty of Kares. Amr of Ila, Vitem Rab Yermia, Lo Nitzcha Lachatzi Shir. The reason why the Mishnah used the words Aser is because the Mishnah is not referring to a guy who ate a full date worth of food on Yom Kippur. If he ate a little bit less than a date worth, he ate Chatzi Shir. He didn't complete the full Shir. So if he didn't complete the full amount, he wouldn't get Kares. But even less than the full amount, even a little bit, it is already prohibited. So the Gemara says, Hanicha, then, if that's what you're reading in our Mishnah, that's fine, Laman Damar, according to the Amora, who said, Chatzi Shir, if a person eats less than the full amount of any prohibition, let's say less than a kezias of pork, or less than a kezias of nevela, less than a kezias of trefa, Chatzi Shir, Asa Menat Torah, less than the full amount, is also biblically prohibited. So then the Mishnah, which says Aser, is referring to Chatzi Shir. Elaman Damar, Chatzi Shir, Motu Menat Torah, but according to the view that says that less than the full amount is permitted biblically, then what are you going to say for our Mishnah? Why does it say Yom Kippurim Aser Ba'achila? It should say Yom Kippurim Ochel Chayiv. Ditmar, as we've learned, this is a question throughout Halacha, Chatzi Shir, when someone has consumed less than the full amount. If Yochanan Amar Aser Menat Torah, Yochanan says, that's also biblically prohibited. Rish Lakish Amar Mutter Menat Torah, Rish Lakish says it is biblically permitted. So Hanichal Rabbi Yochanan, your answer is fine for Rabbi Yochanan, if we would agree with Rabbi Yochanan. El Rish Lakish, but according to Rish Lakish, Ma'ikal Amemar, then what are you going to say? Answer the Gemara. Even according to Rish Lakish, this works. Why did the Mishnah say Yom Kippurim Aser Ba'achila? Why didn't the Mishnah say Yom Kippurim Chayiv? Ha'ochel Chayiv? The answer is, the Mishnah said Yom Kippurim Aser Ba'achila to say even if he ate less than a shear, it's also Aser Ba'achila. According to Rish Lakish, it's not Aser. Less than a shear is Mutter Menat Torah. Yeah, Motu Rish Lakish, Asamidra Abanan, Minatora Rish Lakish says that less than the shear is Mutter. But he agrees that less than the shear is Asr Midra Abanan. So the Mishnah is saying, it's Asr to eat less than the amount. Asr Mitzad what? In terms of what? Midra Abanan, it's Asr. It says the Gemara Yachi, if that's the case, Lo Nichayev Ale Karban Shvua. And there shouldn't be an obligation of a Karban for somebody who swears about less than the shear. Because we have a rule that when you take an oath, the oath takes effect on you. If you then violate it by mistake, you have to bring a karban for violating the oath. Let's say a guy says, I swear I'm not going to eat eggs anymore. I want to reduce my cholesterol. And then he eats eggs. Now he has to bring a karban for having violated. If he forgot his oath, he has to bring a karban for violating the oath. What happens if a person takes an oath about a mitzvah? He says he swears that he's going to learn Torah in the morning. He doesn't learn Torah in the morning. It's not a violation of an oath. The oath never took effect. Hashem gave us the Torah. When Hashem gave us the Torah, we said Na'aseh v'nishma. When we said Na'aseh v'nishma, we were committing to fulfill whatever's in the Torah. We were taking an oath. So about all the Torah laws, you have the idea of Mushba v'omen me'ar Sinai. He already has had an oath imposed upon him from the days of Har Sinai. And therefore, ein shvua chal al shvua, an oath can't take effect on top of a pre-existing oath. The person says he swears that he's going to go to McDonald's and eat the cheeseburger. Doesn't take effect. Hashem already said, keep kosher. And he swore to keep kosher. So the oath to not keep kosher is blocked by the obligation of keeping kosher. So we have a rule. An oath doesn't take effect on top of a pre-existing oath. The pre-existing oath of Sinai. What about Dinim Drabanan? We're going to see that with Dinim Drabanan also, an oath can't take effect on top of a rabbinic law. Because rabbinic laws also we have to keep from the days of Sinai. As Rashi says, Hashem gave us a mitzvah in the Torah. Lo sasara, don't deviate from what the rabbis tell you to do. So if you're going to say according to Reish Lakish, that Chatzi Shir, he says, is Motzei min HaTorah. You're going to say, oh, all that means is that min HaTorah, biblically it's permitted, but midrabanan, you're not allowed to have less than the Shir of every prohibition? Then how could there be oaths taking effect on less than the Shir? If an oath takes effect on less than the Shir, how can it take effect? It's already prohibition. So oath can't take effect on what is already prohibited. That's what Gemara is going to ask now. Says the Gemara, if you're going to say that according to Reish Lakish, there is a rabbinic prohibition on Chatzi Shir, then there shouldn't be an obligation of a carbon. We are about five lines before the end on Ayin Gimel Amid Beis. There shouldn't be an obligation of carbon shvua for an oath on rabbinic law. Allah Matznan. Why do we have the following Mishnah? Shvua shelo ochal. Mishnah says, if a man says, I swear that I won't eat, and then he goes and he eats. Nevela or trefa, shkatzim or amashim. Chayiv, he's obligated for violating an oath. Rabbi Shimon Poter, he's exempt. He's already obligated in the laws of not eating nevela or trefa from Sinai. So this oath doesn't, there's no obligation here for the oath. Ravina, we try to understand this. Am I chayiv? Why is there an obligation of the oath over here? Mushbavi omen mar Sinai hu. He already had an oath from Har Sinai not to eat shkatzim or amasim. So there are two answers. Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan answered to Amri, v'kol dvarim mutarim dvarim asur. This oath was not just about what's already prohibited. It was about what's prohibited from Sinai plus things that were permitted at Sinai. He said, an oath, I'm not going to eat kosher meat and I'm not going to eat nevela meat. So since it took effect on the kosher meat, it takes effect also on the nevela meat, according to the Chachamim. And Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon holds that no, on the Nevela meat it didn't take effect. There's no oath obligation for eating the Nevela. However, Reish Lakish gave another answer. He said the oath took effect on the Shkatzim Uramasim because the oath was about less than a kazayis of Shkatzim Uramasim. Hashem at Sinai told us not to eat Shkatzim Uramasim in a full kazayis. The oath, and that we had one oath on that. This second oath is about less than a kazayis. Now, if a person says shvua shelo ochal, doesn't that mean it's an oath that he's not going to eat? Doesn't eating mean a kazayas? So Reish Lakish answered, according to the Rabbanan's understanding of how shvuos work, the case here is where he explicitly said, I'm taking an oath, I'm not going to eat less than a kazayas of nevela. According to Rabbi Akiva's version of how oaths work, he said, shvua that I'm not eating. And not eating nevela, and that automatically means less than a kazayas. So Amar, because Rabbi Akiva holds Masech Teshvuas, Adam Oster Atzim B'Kolshu. When a person says an oath, he's not going to eat. What it means is he's not going to eat even a little bit. So the answer is, according to Reish Lakish, why would the Mishnah say that there could be an oath obligation for violating an oath about nevela? Hashem already obligated us not to eat nevela. The answer is there's an oath obligation about eating nevela. If the oath was about less than a kazayis, because the less than a kazayis is not asur min haTorah. But you just said that less than a kazayis is asur midrabanan. The chitim, if you're going to try to say, since biblically it was allowed, it's only the rabbis later who made a prohibition on less than a kazayis. So kochayel karban shvua, therefore the obligations of oath take effect on it. But number one, the Mishnah, that obligations of oath do reckon with and do consider seriously rabbinic law. We know that there's such a thing as a person who is supposed to be a witness, and he falsely swears that he doesn't know testimony, so he has to bring karbanos for the false oath. But not didn't learn the Mishnah shvuasa edus, an oath about testimony, in an ohagas, Elibur Uyan Lahaid. So it only applies to those people who could testify, who are able to testify, who are worthy of testifying. So we try to understand that. The Mutei, what's that to exclude? To exclude a king, because we don't let kings testify. So if you imposed an oath, the witness oath on a king, no laws of witness oaths, no laws of bringing a karban. And Rav Acha bar Yaakov amar l'mutei masachet b'kuvya, to exclude somebody who goes and gambles. He plays with dice for money. So with chance, he gets money. And such a person is disqualified from testifying rabbinically. Masachet b'kuvya midarais l'merzichazi. A person who's a gambler, biblically, is not a thief, because the definition of biblical theft is vayigzol asachanis. He stole the spear. He goes into somebody's rishus and pulls away property forcibly. A gambler, that person, put down money into the pot. I put money into the pot. I didn't go into his house and take money out of his pocket. So a gambler is not a biblical thief. It's only a rabbinic thief. And nevertheless, as a rabbinic thief, he's disqualified from testifying. And once he's disqualified from testifying, an oath on him about testimony doesn't create the laws of Shavuos Ha'edus. So, Masachet B'Kuvya Midarais L'Merzichazi, biblically, he's able to testify. Rabbanan Uta Paslu, it's the rabbis who disqualified him. And an oath does not take effect on him. So you see that rabbinic law will also preclude oaths. So if rabbinic law will preclude oaths, so then the rabbinic prohibition of Chatzi Shir should preclude an oath. So how did Rish Lakish say that on Chatzi Shir of the Veil there could be an oath? If Rish Lakish holds that on less than a Shir there's a rabbinic prohibition. The Gemara says there is really a rabbinic prohibition on less than the Shir. There's a difference between eating and testifying. There's a difference between Shavuos Bitui, an oath that's an expression, and an oath of testimony. Shani Yosem, in regards to the oath of testimony, it's different. Amar Kadosh Pasuk said, Im lo yagid v'nasa avono. If he won't testify, then he carries a sin. So it's somebody who could have testified who doesn't testify. V'hai la baragadu klal. And this person, even though he's a gambler, it's only rabbinic theft, he's not someone who can testify. Albeit because of the rabbis, but he can't testify. So since he can't testify, his swearing is not denying testimony of those people who would like to get his testimony, because he couldn't testify. But in regards to an oath about eating, Hashem said not to eat a kezias. So, less than a kezias. At Sinai, we never took an oath about less than a kezias. So therefore, about less than a kezias, even though rabbinically we can't eat less than a kezias, but there's no Sinai obligation about less than a kezias. Rabbinically, you can't eat less than a kezias. Therefore, a person can take a shvua, and the shvua will take effect on less than a kezias. And that's how Rish Lakish explained the Mishnah in the Masechta Shvuos about there being oath violations for eating nevela. The answer is when there was an oath on less than a kezias. Going back to the original question, again, the original question is, why does the Mishnah say, Yom Kippurim Aser Ba'achilu V'Shtiyah? And Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to eat and drink. Why doesn't it say Yom Kippurim, Ochel Vashos, Sechayev Kares? Asks the Gemara, V'chol Eichad Atani Yanush Kares, Lo Tani Aser. Is it true that when you could have said a penalty of Kares, then it doesn't say Aser? V'atani, we learned in a Braisa, Afal Pisham Rasu B'Kulan, even though they said all of these activities, eating, and bathing, and anointments, and leather shoe wearing, and marital relations, are Asar on Yom Kippur, Lo Amru Anush Kares, El Ala Ochel V'Shosav Osam Malacha Bilvad. They only said that there's Kares for someone who eats, drinks, or he does Malacha. We're doing Malacha on Yom Kippur. So you see, Amru Asar B'Kulan, but they said Asar about all of them, even about eating and drinking. So you see, even when you have the option of saying there's a Chi of Kares, you also would say Asar. The Gemara says, no, Hachikam, here's what that price means. Kishamru Asr, Lo Amru El Bekachatzi Shir. When they said that these activities are Asr on Yom Kippur. So for eating, that means eating less than the Shir. Avol Kishir, but if you would eat the full amount, Anush Kares, you would get Kares for eating. Yaf Bish Anush Kares, even though you'd get Kares, Ein Anush Kares, El Ochel Shoset, only the one who eats or drinks would get Kares. Or the Yosem Malacha, the one who does Malacha on Yom Kippur, the guy who drives a car on Yom Kippur would get Kares. But somebody bathes on Yom Kippur, has marital relations on Yom Kippur, or who applies ointments on Yom Kippur, wears leather shoes on Yom Kippur, he does not get Kares. Anybody, same, another answer I can give you. for the original question, why did the Mishnah say Yom Kippurim Aser Ba'achilu V'Shtiyah? Why didn't the Mishnah say Yom Kippurim Ochel V'Ashoseh Chayiv? Alternatively, Kikatani Aser. The reason why I chose to say the word Aser is Ashara. That's for all the other things, namely for bathing and for wearing leather shoes. The Tanu Rab of Rav Yosef is Sifti Be Rav, as Rab and Rav Yosef taught in all the Sifreis of Rav. In the Medrash Halach of Rav, that's not on Vayikra. You're not allowed to bathe, you're not allowed to apply ointments, you're not allowed to wear leather shoes, you're not allowed to have marital relations. Aser, Tamalomar, that's what we learned from the Pasuk about Yom Kippur, the word Shabbason. It says in regards to Shabbos, also Shabbason. In regards to Shabbos, the word Shabbason teaches you Shvos, stop from certain weekday activities. In other words, the rabbinic laws of Shabbos are hinted in the word Shabbason, the atmosphere of Shabbos. So to be here, Shabbason of Yom Kippur is to say not just don't eat, that we learned from V'nisim es nafsho seichem, but Shabbason is also to stop from other activities. Gufo, we learned before. And talk about throughout the Torah, chatzi shir, less than the amount. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Asa v'natzor, Rabbi Yochanan said, it's still biblically prohibited. You just don't get the punishment. Resh Lakish Amar, Resh Lakish said, mutter v'nat Torah. It's biblically permitted. It's less than the amount. The Torah permits a certain amount. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Asa v'natzor, Rabbi Yochanan said, it's prohibited biblically. Because Kevin the Chazid Tzarufi, since this little bit of can combine with another little bit, it'll be the full amount. Since you could combine with more of this to get to the full amount. So therefore, came in the Chazilitz Tarufa, since it could combine, he's eating something prohibited. Reshlak said, Mutter Minat Torah, it's biblically permitted. Because Achilam Rahman, Hashem said, don't eat. If it's less than that amount, less than a Kazayas, Lekka, it's not eating. Eis, Rabbi Yochanan, Reshlakish, Rabbi Yochanan challenges Rabbi Reshlakish. Again, Rabbi Yochanan and Reshlakish are brothers-in-law, and they're both Amoraim. They don't argue with Mishnayos or Brisos. We learned a Brisa about the prohibition of fat. The Torah says about eating forbidden fats. The Torah says not to eat forbidden fats. And it says anyone who eats the forbidden fat will get kares. So I would have thought, Ainli Ella Kol Sheshna Ba'ona Sheshna Ba'azhara. I would think maybe only those who get kares for eating are included in the prohibition of don't eat. Let's say koi. You know, the forbidden fats are only applied to behemoths, to domesticated animals. They don't apply to wild animals. A koi, we don't know whether it's wild or domestic, because the koi is born from a chaya and a behemoth, let's say from a deer with a goat. So we don't know what it is. Is it mostly goat? Is it mostly deer? So koi, where we don't know what it is, so therefore there's certainly not going to be any akares for eating the fat of the koi. Or a chatzi shir, somebody eats less than the full amount. It wasn't an achila. He had less than a kazayas. Ho'il ve'eno ba'onesh, these things where there's no punishment. Yachal eno ba'azhar, maybe there'd also be no prohibition. Tamaloma, that's what the Torah says. Kol chelev. Torah says, any bit of chelev don't eat. The Torah's language is, kol chelev shor v'chesev va'ez lo so chelu. Kol chelev, any chelev. So any chalev includes even koi, any chalev even less than the amount. So you see, there's a pasuk, kol chalev, and a chalev even less than the amount is prohibited. So let's learn from chalev to everywhere else, even less than the amount should be prohibited. So what are you going to do, Resh Lakish? This is Tanayim. Resh Lakish will say, no, really, midrabanan. It's a rabbinic prohibition on less than the full amount. And that's what's being referenced here. I the pasuk kol chelev kras machta ba'alma. It's just a way to remember the din d'rabbanan. Says the Gemara Chanan Mistabra. It makes sense that this price is not really teaching us a real drasha. It's just saying a din d'rabbanan or a rabbinic law. Because if you're going to say that this price is biblical lessons, biblical laws, koi sfeikahu. We know that a koi is a suffix. We're not sure. Is it a behema? Is it a chaya? It's trich kra. We're going to need a pasuk la'asuye sveika to include a suffik. Hashem, for Hashem, there is no suffik. Hashem knows what it is. So Hashem's not going to write a pasuk to include a suffik. We have a suffik. So as the Gemara, that's not a proof. Based on that, that's not a proof for you. Chasari, could very well be that the Tanaim of the Braisa hold Koi Bria Bifnei Atzmi. The Koi is a new creature. Because it's not a behemah, because it has a chaya as a parent. It's not a chaya, because it has a behemah as a parent. It has both. So it's a new creature. And we need a pasuk to say, how do you treat the new creature? The new creature also, you can't eat it. It's chaylev. The lo teimach, if you're not going to give answers like this. Hadam Ravidi Bar Avin, this is Ravidi Bar Avin said, when it says in regards to blood, afkol, that's lasuye koi, to include the blood of a koi. So again, we would ask there too, koi is a suffik. It's kolor buye sveka. The psukim are going to address suffik. Ella, what's the answer? No, it's bria shani, it's its own creature. Hachanami here too, bria shani, it's its own creature. Then Rabbanu, we learned, our sages told us in a braisa, so the pasuk says, ta'anuas nafsho seichem. All right, that's the whole theme of the Mishnah. Afflict yourselves. How do you afflict yourselves? Not to eat, not to drink, not to have marital relations, not to wear leather shoes. These are afflictions. Pasuk says, on the 10th day of the month, you should afflict yourselves. Ta'anuas nafsho seichem. Says the braisa, yochel yeshu v'chamo v'tzino. Maybe that means he should be sitting in the sun or the shade. Kadeshi yitzdar, to be afflicted. Tamalom, and that's what the pasuk goes on to say, v'chol malacha lo sasun, don't do any malacha on Yom Kippur. So ma malacha, just like malacha, is sheva al tas, you have to sit and not plow, and sit and not plant, and sit and not harvest, and sit and not grind, and sit and not knead, and sit and not bake. So afinu nefesh, so to the afflictions is a sheva al tas, so you sit and don't do, and that's the affliction. Says the Gemara, okay, the ema, so maybe, it, again, doesn't mean you sit and don't eat, maybe it is. That you can eat on Yom Kippur, but Echad Yasav Hashim Shavachayim Leh, if you're sitting in the sun and it's hot for you, Lo Neimale Kum Tov Betula, we would never tell him, get up, and by the way, there's a shady place to sit, or Yasav Betula Vakar Leh, if you're sitting in the shade and it's cold for him, Lo Neimale, we wouldn't tell him, Kum Tov Betula, go sit in the sun and warm up. So, no, it can't be that. It has to be, afflict yourselves in a way that similarly to not doing malacha, so afflict yourselves by not eating, Dumi the malacha. Because just like in not doing malacha, not doing activity, it's an absolute rule. It doesn't depend on the temperature. So to the affliction is lo tachlok bo. It's nothing which is going to depend on the temperature. It's going to be an absolute. If you don't eat, you're always going to have that feeling of feeling bad. Tanya, you look at another braisa, similar drashos. The pasuk says, tanu es nafsho seichem. Afflict your souls. Maybe that means he should be sitting in the sun or in the shade and be afflicted, be pained by it. The pasuk says, afflict your souls and don't do malacha. So just like malacha is something which you're hired for it somewhere else. So to inui nefesh is something which you'd be hired for it somewhere else. So the malacha, we know somewhere else where there's a chiyuv for malacha. Shabbos. The person who does malacha on Shabbos, he also gets kares. So that's in regards to malacha. So the inyan nefesh is something, what's the affliction? Something which, somewhere else also, there would be death for it. Ezeh, so that's eating. As we find with pigel and nosar, that karbanos, where during their services, there was contaminating thoughts of eating it at the wrong time, or it actually is the wrong time for this karban. Somebody eats their kares, that's where we would have this law. So there's kares in eating. So therefore, here where it says tanuus nafsho seichem, something which is like malacha, just like malacha of Yom Kippur, there's kares elsewhere for malacha, malacha on Shabbos. So too, the affliction of Yom Kippur that creates the pain, which has kares, is something which is an activity that would have kares somewhere else, namely the activity of eating. There's never kares for sitting in the sun or not sitting in the sun. So that's not what it's referring to. So the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, you're saying that it has to be like malacha. Malacha has kares in Shabbos. So therefore it's eating. So maybe you're saying in malacha, it's the same activity that you can't do on Shabbos, what you can't do on Yom Kippur. So maybe, avi pigel benosar, maybe the prohibition of Yom Kippur is you can't, of ta'anuos nafsho seichem, afflict yourself by not eating pigel benosar. Shehein b'karis, and only there he of karis. V'lo avias ha-tevel, but let's say a person eats on Yom Kippur tevel, produce that the chumas weren't taken from them. Even though it's also prohibited to eat. But shehein b'karis, it's not included in karis generally, so maybe there would be no karis fruit on Yom Kippur. But tamalomar, about that, the verse says, ta'anu es nafsho seichem, It also had said, V'inisem es nafsho seichem. So since he repeats twice, afflict yourself, it's to be inclusive, Reba. Maybe only Aviyat Tevel should be Misa. Maybe I'm only including the guy who eats Tevel in Yom Kippur, because Tevel creates a death penalty elsewhere when you eat it. But not including Nevela, which doesn't create the death penalty. For eating it, Tamalom, that's what the verse says. Ta'anu plus V'inisem es nafsho seichem. Reba to include Aviyat Nevela, maybe only to include Nevela. Shubalav, which is a lav, lo aviyas achulin, but not to include chulin, shein abalav, which don't have a lav, tamalom again. That's what it said. Say anu, plus v'inisim, snap shoseichem, to include. Aviyachulin, shein abakum echol. So maybe I'm including that you can't eat chulin on Yom Kippur, and if you eat chulin, there's a prohibition and a penalty. Because there's no mitzvah to go up and eat chulin. Lo aviyas achuba, but maybe if a guy eats chuma on Yom Kippur, maybe there wouldn't be any penalties. Shein abakum echol, I feel there's a mitzvah to eat chuma, tamalom, and that's again. We learn from the fact that it says Ta'anu plus V'nisim Snaf Shoseichem Riba to include Avias HaChuma Sheinu B'Bal Totiru. Okay, let me include Chuma. That's not, there's a mitzvah to eat it, but there's no time frame on how when to eat it. You have to eat it at a certain time. Avias HaKachuma, maybe Karbanos are not included. First of all, he has a mitzvah to eat it, plus Sheinu B'Bal Totiru. You can't leave them over. You have to eat them in a certain amount of time. So maybe that you could eat on Yom Kippur. That's not included in Ta'anu Snaf Shoseichem. Tamlam, as the verse said, Ta'anu plus V'nisim es nafsho seichem, Riba to include. V'im nafsho chalom, if you don't like all these answers, I'll give you another answer. How do we know that Inui means to not eat, and Inui doesn't mean to sit in the sun? Because the pasuk goes on to say that if somebody, kol nefesh shelo su'uneh, the soul does not afflict itself, v'abadati es nefesh ahi, and I will make lost that soul. So it's an Inui, it's a type of affliction. Where a person feels like he's lost life. What's that? That's achilushti. If you don't eat and drink, you feel like you lost life. Why would we reject all these answers of Ta'anu plus V'nisem? Because if you're going to say like this, that the reason how we know that Ta'anu means not to eat, because it has to be like Malacha, just like Malacha elsewhere is a Chi of Kares. The Inui here also is an Inui, where elsewhere there's a Chi of Kares. And where is there a Chi of Kares elsewhere? That's about eating, as we find with Pigul and Nosar. You could have given a different explanation. You could have said, "Ba'arayas kamishtoikra." The pasuk is referring to Inu, is referring to not having marital relations, because marital relations certainly sometimes have a chiyuv kares. So about that, I'll say no. Harayom, the pasuk says, "Va'avadati es nefesh." Inu sheyesh ba'avedas nefesh. It's an affliction that it's referring to where there's a sense of loss of life. And that's with what? With achilu shtiyah, by not eating and drinking. The bear bishmal tana and the sheep bishmal. Give another answer. How we know that Inu means not to eat. And Inui doesn't mean something else. Namar Khan, it says over here, Inui, Vinam Lahalan Inui, and it says somewhere else in regards to the man, Inui, Vayancha, Vayarivecha. Smalahalan Inui Ra'avon, just like over there, the Inui was an Inui of fasting. Afkan Inui Ra'avon. Says the Gemara, why not? Why, maybe Inui means not having marital relations. And if someone has marital relations on Yom Kippur, they should get Kares. Neiluf, and we would know that Inui means marital relations from what Lavan tells Yaakov, in Tanes Benosai. Answer is done in Inui Derab Mina Derab. That was love and talking to an individual. But here, Ta'anu es nafsho seichem is God talking to the nation. And Vayan Chavayarivech is God talking to the nation. So we derive the nation from the nation. And we don't derive, ain't done in Inui Derab, we don't derive the definition of Inui about the nation. May Inui the Yachid from the word Inui given to an individual. Ask Gemara v'neiluf Inui de Mitzrayim. Why don't we learn from the Inui of Egypt? The Tzibbut says, Vayaris on Yenu. Verse says, and Hashem saw our affliction. Ramina explains who preaches Derech Eretz. That's the reference to the fact that men were not allowed to be with women. Answers, well, done in Inui Bidei Shamayim, Inui Bidei Shamayim. We derive Inui from heaven, where Hashem says to afflict yourself, Tanu Snaf Shaseichem, from where Hashem said, from Vayancha, they done in Inui Bidei Shamayim, Inui Bidei Adam. We don't derive Tanu Snaf Shaseichem from in Egypt, where Vayaris Anyenu, where people afflicted us. All right, talking about the man now. The verse says, "Who fed you man in the desert in order to afflict you?" Rav Ami and Rav Asi argued about this. Chadam once said, "How's the man afflicting? You can't compare someone who has bread in his basket to someone who doesn't have bread in his basket. The man only came down for that day's amount worth of food. So somebody didn't have bread in his basket, he's afflicted. He doesn't know what he's going to eat tomorrow." The Chadam once said, "Eno doma mi shirova ochel." You can't compare it to somebody who sees and eats. Somebody doesn't see and he eats. The man, you could give it whatever taste you wanted, but you didn't really see it because it was always ragazu. So sometimes if you see that you're eating, you know, the hamburger or the piece of steak that you're thinking of. Rav Yosef and Kanrem is the summit from here. Is a hint to the blind, that they eat and they don't feel full. He himself was blind. Abaya said, he'll clear from Adisle Sudasa if a person has a meal. He should eat it in the day so that he can eat it and see it, and while seeing it, he will enjoy it. Amr Abzer said, Micro, what's the pasuk? Pasuk says, Tov Marei Naim Mehalach Nafesh, better the sight of the eyes from walking. So that's to say, and if you want to be able to enjoy, you have to be able to see it. Amr Shlakish said, from this pasuk, Tov Marei Naim Beisha Yoser Migufa Shalmaisa, better the sight of a woman than the actual marital relations. Shenamar, as it says, Tov Marinayim Elach Nafesh, a person has greater enjoyment just in seeing a beautiful woman than in relations with her. Pasuk says in Mishlei, Ki Yitain B'Kos Eino Yishalech Misharim. Rabbi Amin Rav Asi argued about this. Pasuk Chadamar would have said, it means Kol Nosein Eino B'Koso, anyone who puts his eye to his cup, he drinks too much wine. Kol Arayos Domos Alef Kemishar, then Arayos, all of them appear to him like to be allowed. One said it means kolanos and bakoso, anyone who drinks too much, kololam kulo domol of kamisha, the whole world appears to him as if it's all flat, as if he can steal people's property. Okay, Bezrat Hashem will continue to.